Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I am so glad to be here for a lot of reasons. One is that when I came down here on Thursday, I woke up at my hometown of Cincinnati, and it was 38 degrees. But it's not just the warm weather, it's the warm welcome that you've offered. I was at your diocesan convention, which was amazing. I loved it, and meeting lots of people and seeing the beautiful and rich diversity of God's people who are the Diocese of Southeast Florida. Our convention Eucharist was in four languages, and it could have been in more, I'm sure, but it was wonderful, and it's great to be here. I spent about half my time traveling, visiting churches all over the Episcopal Church. And I'm especially glad to be here at St. Benedict's for a couple of reasons. One is that Father Albert is a friend of mine, and I'm glad to see his church. And I'm always seeing him post pictures of all of you on Facebook. So now I get to see you in real life, which is great, and see this church. But also, what I'm really glad about, and I didn't appreciate this until just now, is how joyful you are. Don't take that for granted ever about this place. I can tell you, I visit a lot of Episcopal churches, and a lot of times you would have no idea that we're gathered here to do the most amazing thing in the world, to offer our praise to God. But here we are doing the most amazing thing that God made us to do, to offer our thanks and praise. What a gift that is, and I'm so glad that you show that so joyfully. So thank you for that. What's not so joyful is the news. Yesterday, horrible news in Pittsburgh, as our Jewish sisters and brothers were gunned down offering their prayers, their praises. This week, bombs sent to people. Always people dying of senseless gun violence. People dying because they don't have good health care. Sometimes it seems like we live in an awful, terrible world full of awful, terrible things. And we do truly live in a world with struggles and sorrow and difficulty and challenges. But what are we Christians to do about it? How do we live in a world like this? What do we do? How do we respond? It's a question people of faith, people of all faiths are always asking, but especially we who follow Jesus. How do we live in this world? I'll tell you what isn't going to save us. Power isn't going to save us. Weapons aren't going to save us. Money isn't going to save us. Staying inside locked doors fearfully isn't going to save us. Making divisions and labeling people inside and outside isn't going to save us. But we knew that, didn't we? Because we have a Savior. And Jesus says to us, like he said to the blind man in the gospel reading today, "Your faith has made you well." Our faith makes us well. But what does that mean in this world we live in? How can it be that our faith makes us well and yet we still have sorrow and struggle and difficulty? One thing to know is that when Jesus says your faith has made you well, that bit "made you well" is the same Greek word means your faith has saved you, your faith has redeemed you, your faith has made you whole. It's the same thing. And one of the mistakes that we Christians make all the time is we imagine that salvation, when we hear that word, that that's a thing that's mostly about the life to come. That it's about the life we'll inherit, the eternal life we'll inherit. But here's the truth. Our salvation begins in this life. The eternal, abundant life that Jesus Christ wants for us begins in this life. Our salvation, our wholeness, our healing, our redemption, our freedom begins in this life. It's a different way of living. If we can manage to get it right, even occasionally, we realize we're freed from the tyranny of wanting more stuff and believing that we need to worry about our safety or believing that we have to be afraid of anything. We are Easter people. We should know we don't have to be afraid of anything. God's love is stronger than whatever the world can throw at us, stronger even than death. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem when we meet him in today's gospel reading. He's been on a roll lately. A few weeks ago, he was kind of grumpy in the Sunday gospel reading, and he was railing about rich people and the camel and the needle and all that. You remember that. And then the lectionary skipped over some hard verses about how Jesus reminded his disciples that he was on his way to Jerusalem and that he was going to die and God was going to raise him on the third day. And they didn't want to hear that because that's hard news. Then last week he was on a roll again. And here we are on his way to Jerusalem. And they run into this blind man who says, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus has a posse. And the people around him say, "No, no, you be quiet. We've got places to go, people to see, things to do. We don't have time for this. Shh." But Jesus always has time. And Jesus always has mercy. And so when that man said, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," Jesus had mercy. And he stopped. "What do you want me to do for you?" It's a question that God asks us too. God says to you and you and you and you and you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we would do well to answer the way Bartimaeus answered, "My teacher, let me see. Let me see." Maybe not literal vision with our eyes, but let me see what this world's about. Let me see God's love. Let me see God's purpose for us. Let me see that our salvation is at hand. Let me see that I don't need to be afraid. Let me see that hope and grace and mercy are always the way, and fear and might and hatred are never the way. My teacher, let me see. And if we do that, Jesus will say to us, "Your faith has made you well." Now, you know what that blind man does afterwards is it doesn't say in the gospel he was healed and he said, "Yo, thanks. I'm going to go back to the same old life now. I'm going to go back." He doesn't say that, does he? How does it end? "And he followed him." That man, once he could see, knew that his old life needed to be left behind, and it was on to the new life with Jesus Christ. And he followed him. And if you keep reading, if you go home and look this up in your Bible, the very next verse in the scripture, Jesus arrives at the outskirts of Jerusalem. This man could see. He had been healed. He had been saved. He could have done anything. He could have gone back to whatever he was doing before, and instead he followed Jesus, even though he knew they were on their way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would die at the hands of an angry state. If we ask God to let us see, I hope and pray that we all have the courage to follow Jesus once we see. Because you see, we can't make peace with this awful news of this world we live in. It's not right that people have to think about weapons in houses of worship. It's not right that we live in a world where some people have so much stuff and others have nothing. It's not right that we live in a world where the forces of empire are always trying to label these people are inside and they're good and these people are outside and they're bad. That's not the way God sees the world. And so if we ask God for eyes of faith to see and to behold, I pray that we'll have the courage to follow Jesus. And following Jesus doesn't just mean coming to church, even though church is awesome, and it's maybe the most important thing Christians do, but it means following Jesus out into the world to be agents of God's love, witnesses of the resurrection, heralds of the Holy Spirit. That's our work. To thank God for our salvation, but then not to go back to our ordinary routines, to die to our old lives and live a new life. That's what it's about. Now, you might be thinking here, and you'd be right to be thinking this, that's impossible. That's nice for you, Mr. Guest Preacher, to come in and say all this, but it's not possible. And you're right. If it's up to me, or it's up to you, or it's up to you, it isn't possible. But we have God, and God has our back. We say in our baptismal promises, what? I will with God's help. We have God to help us. And when we fail, my favorite baptismal promise of all the ones we make, my favorite one is, and whenever we fall into sin, I will repent and return to the Lord. Because it says not if, but when. Because every single time we fail, no matter how badly we fail, God still loves us and welcomes us back with open arms. That's the God that we worship, the God that we praise this day, the God that we thank this day. So my invitation to all of you, to everyone here this week, is to ask God for eyes of faith to see. And God gives us, God will answer that request and give us eyes of faith to see. And try leaving even just a little bit our old lives behind, whatever they are, and living a new life, going new places, in new ways, to follow Jesus. To say, hate isn't the answer. Fear isn't the answer. Power isn't the answer. Might isn't the answer. No, the answer is grace and mercy and hope and love. Or as our collect says, faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest is charity or love. Go, your faith has made you well. Amen.